Ladies and gentlemen, the triumphant return of Heather from Heritage.
Co-hosted with Jack Inslee here today on the Heritage Report. I've not heard that song in a minute.
And we haven't heard you in a minute either, Ms. Hyman.
That is true. I've been on a brief hiatus. Pretty busy the past couple months with Heritage. We got turkeys that I was working with. Went down to Virginia to visit the farm and the smokehouse. So we've definitely been a little busy back in the Heritage headquarters.
Yeah, and for those who are just joining us, Heather Hyman works with Heritage Foods USA and is the old host of the Heritage Farm Report that you may or may not know. This show is the Heritage Report, which differs just a slight bit, but we'll be touching on a bunch of the same issues, talking with farmers, talking about the distribution business.
Most importantly, what I love to do, connecting the producer to the consumer and all that comes along with it. So it's been a fun November and December, to say the least. I took a trip out to Trimble, Missouri, where we went and we packaged over 2,000 to 3,000 birds in one day. It was really super special.
What kind of birds?
Heritage birds. Heritage turkeys, to be exact, turkeys. For people's Thanksgiving feasts.
And these are like the most famous heritage thing.
Well, the genetics come from Frank Reese, who's the preeminent poultry expert in America. He's been referred to as the godfather of American poultry on many instances. He's been a guest here on the network many times, and he definitely knows the deal with the poultry industry. He's been in it for quite some time now. So we have a big following, and it's a big day on Monday before Thanksgiving. There's a huge team that goes out. We set up two lines, like a conveyor belt, where we've got people in the back with the birds and then people all the way on the other end with FedEx labels slapping them on top of the boxes. And what goes on in between is lots of packing. And
so this is packing after the birds have been slaughtered?
Yes.
So you're not there for that part?
I am not there for that part. And the slaughter actually happens at a different place than where they're distributed out of, which is Paradise Locker Meats this past year.
Oh, okay.
Another sponsor on the Heritage Radio Network. Thank
Friends
you.
Friends of the Network.
Yes.
So now for some new listeners, why don't you, I know you must have done this a million times, but why don't you give us a quick overview of what Heritage Foods USA actually does, who you are?
Well, what I do and what Heritage Foods USA does is they basically connect farmers that raise rare and heritage breeds of meat to consumers all across the country, whether it be chefs at restaurants or home chefs at home that can receive deliveries by mail via FedEx. And I run the mail order end of the business, which basically entails anyone that goes onto our website, heritagefoodsusa.com, and places an order. I see everything that comes through those orders and make sure that all of our farmers and distribution centers know what order to send and who to send it to.
So if I decide that I want a heritage turkey, I'm going to go to the website.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to buy the turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And you are going to make sure that it ships from where? Trimble, Missouri?
Yes. Last year, Trimble, Missouri, for sure. That's where we've been shipping our birds out of for since 2005, I believe. They were all being shipped from Trimble. I've been with Heritage since August of 2006. So 2.5 years full time there. I've been dubbed the Minister of Mail Order.
Also a co-founder of Heritage Radio Network.
Thank you.
Don't forget.
But besides turkeys, there's lots of other interesting things that we do offer on the menu, if you will. We've got ducks, we've got geese, we've got steaks, we've got anything you could really think of in like the protein world, to be honest. Bison. Then we do special things, you know, throughout the year that are seasonal and can only be offered in months of September. For instance, the pawpaw.
Delicious.
Yeah. Our nice mango, custardy, banana type Native American fruit.
Good fruit.
Definitely.
Now, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Since, first of all, I want to go on record and say that we at Heritage Radio Network are very upset the Jets won't be in the Super Bowl. But that being said, if I want to pig out on the Super Bowl, what should I be looking at on this website?
What do you think? The Super Bowl Sunday specials. Which are ribs, Boston butts, and... Dun, 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 dun. It's escaping me right now. Ribs, Boston butts, and country ribs, the farmer favorite.
I thought you were going to say suckling pig.
No, unfortunately, we like to keep our babies to, get a little bigger and older. And
I just had a suckling pig sausage from Heritage last night.
Where?
At Maliano.
Oh, yeah, nice. That's delicious. The benefit of delivering the product yourself at 10:30 at night.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Cool. So there's a Super Bowl special. That's cool. Gotta check it out.
Yeah, definitely. Boston butt, the top part of the shoulder makes awesome pulled pork. We've got our St. Louis ribs up there, which everyone knows what to do with those. Just put them in your favorite beer batter or throw your favorite barbecue sauce on them. Put them in the oven. 12 ribs per slab. You can entertain a whole party. Mm. And another special thing we've got this week is fresh lamb from Montana. Which is always fun because you got a little piece of the animal to serve up for everyone on that Super Bowl Sunday.
Do you have recipes on the website too?
There are recipes. Awesome. Many of the recipes come from some of this country's best chefs, as well as the farmers and friends.
Wow, so it's all taken care of.
We try, full service.
Yeah. So today we're talking corn, as evidenced by our theme song.
If you didn't recognize. Yeah,
but, corn with a C.
Not a K.
And this is Iroquois white corn. Who are we going to be talking with in the next segment?
We're going to be talking with Marty Travis from Spence Farm. And he's in Fairbury, Illinois.
Illinois.
And he's got a story that we are going to get into that really just depicts a movie.
Awesome.
I'm really looking forward to getting him on and really looking forward to being able to offer Iroquois white corn. And for those of you who don't know anything about the Iroquois White Corn Project, you're going to learn a lot in just about maybe 3 to 4 minutes when we get him on here.
Word. Well, Heather, it's awesome to hear you back on radio.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you as my co-host.
Let's take a quick break and we'll get
Marty
on the phone. Back. That's some pretty terrible music that we're playing today, but all in good spirits. You're listening to the Heritage Report on the Heritage Radio Network. This show is brought to you by our very own Heritage Foods USA. www.heritagefoodsusa.com for more information. And remember, you can call in live at any time, 718-497-2128. You can search for the Heritage Report on iTunes for podcast. You can find us on Twitter at HRN Updates, on Facebook, the Heritage Radio Network. We are everywhere. And on the line right now, we have Marty Travis. Are you with us, Marty?
Yes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How's it going, Marty?
Well, it's a nice cold winter day here in the Midwest. I'm not sure what you're dealing with out there, but it's not too bad.
It's a strangely warm winter season here.
Yeah.
Actually. Wow.
It was like 50 degrees on Monday, and it's going to be snowing on Saturday. So if you don't hear the nasal on my nose, that's why.
Well, we're anxiously awaiting spring here, too. So it'll happen.
Well, you'll tell me more about why you're anxiously awaiting spring, I'm sure, in just a moment. But let's learn a little bit more about Spence Farm.
Okay. Spence Farm has been in my family. It was my grandparents' farm. It's been in our family this year for 180 years.
Wow. How many generations is that?
Our son is the eighth generation to live here.
Wow.
And is he gonna continue farming?
Very much. He's one of the partners in our farm and an equal partner. And at 18, he's pretty excited about it.
That's what we love to hear. We're all about young farmers here on the Heritage Radio Network.
You bet.
We need them.
You bet. Well, it's a 160-acre farm, a little bit of conventional corn, beans, wheat, alfalfa.
Okay.
But we also grow 10-plus acres of food crops, vegetable crops.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of heirloom varieties.
So did the 10 acres pay the bills, or the 150 acres?
The 150 acres, more or less, that goes, most of that goes to my mom for her income, but I'll say that we probably do 10 times that on our 10 acres of what she does on hers. So,
really?
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. So what's so special about what you're raising on these 10 acres that's able to you know, pull in that kind of income?
Well, we do all kinds of heirloom varieties of tomatoes, potatoes, beans.
We needed something else that rhymed there, Marty. Come on.
peppers and all kinds of things for restaurants in the Chicago area and a whole local food network that we supply here in central Illinois also.
Nice. When you say local food network, is that like a CSA? Or?
No, we actually have a number of restaurants, but also a number of grocery stores here in central Illinois that are quite supportive of the local farm and food network that we've helped set up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty exciting. We have a lot of young people involved, and to see 11 and 12-year-old kids providing food for their community is pretty rewarding.
Wow. So how does that happen? Do they come visit you on the farm, or do you drive out to this local food network? Is there like a distribution center?
No. Each farm is still responsible for their own labeling and their own identity.
Mm-hmm.
But we have arrangements with a lot of the grocery stores and several small restaurants and some larger restaurants where the folks, the farmers, are able to take their product in at any time, and it's all prepackaged and labeled and the whole arrangement. And the grocery stores are actually giving the farmer 80% of the retail price.
Wow.
Which is pretty remarkable.
Huh. I mean, so they're giving you real estate and shelf space, and it doesn't sound like they are making any money.
Well,
I mean, I don't know how they could be.
It's also great community awareness.
Uh-huh.
We do a lot of educating here through our not-for-profit here at the farm, but a lot of community awareness, and it's really paying off. This group of farmers that I'm talking about have doubled their sales each year for the last 5 years.
That's amazing. So, I mean, these 10 acres, it's enough space to supply this network, or do you foresee you having to maybe expand on these 10 acres?
We're looking probably to expand this year into a lot of small grains. We have a number of restaurants and other businesses asking for barley and rye and wheat and spelt and those kinds of things. So
any local beer makers? I'm sorry.
Yeah, actually, we're working with two or three at this point. So it's kind of neat.
That's wonderful. I like to hear that.
Yeah.
Great. So, on these 10 acres, how many hands do you need? I mean, how many people do you have working with you? Or is this, and I should maybe take a step back, is this 10 acres totally separate in terms of production from the other 150 acres first?
It is. Yes, okay. Yes, it is. And part of it will be in cover crop, part of it will be in wheat, part of it's in our corn, you know, just a variety of crops.
Mm-hmm.
But typically it's my wife Chris and I and our son Will, and his girlfriend helps quite a bit during the summer. So basically it's just three or four of us and that's part of what we want to do is to farm at the scale of a human being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really important that we just don't overstretch what we're actually capable of doing.
Well, yeah, you can't cut corners that way.
No, no.
So that's good to hear. And you're keeping it in the family.
Yes, very much.
Where you're located, are there other farms nearby? Is there some kind of like bartering? Because it sounds like you're raising crops, but no proteins really. So is there any kind of like bartering that goes on with the neighboring farms that raise proteins perhaps?
What we've done, we've kind of organized a loose co-op. It's an LLC of 25 other small family farms that provide everything from eggs and chicken to pastured pork, pastured beef.
Mm.
There's an on-farm dairy store that sells milk. All kinds of vegetables and produce and fruits and vegetables. And so we work as a cooperative,
mm-hmm.
Basically as marketing and selling and those kinds of things. And there is quite a bit of bartering that does happen between the group. It's really pretty neat.
Nice. Well, that's good to hear. Community is important to uphold wherever you are.
You bet.
A good sense of it anyway. Wonderful. Well, we brought you on the show today to talk about Iroquois white corn. And we're very excited to have somebody producing Iroquois white corn that we even know about.
Yeah.
Want to tell us a little bit why this is so rare?
Well, several years ago, Rick Bayless's restaurant, Frontera,
mm-hmm.
We take a lot of product there. The chef de cuisine, Brian Inyard, asked us, he says, you know, there's something that I want to ask you guys if you would consider growing. And he said, you know, years ago we were able to get this roasted cornmeal from the Iroquois Nation out in New York,
mm-hmm.
and we just can't get it anymore. And so we went on this big search to try to find the seed,
mm-hmm.
and there was no seed available in the United States that we could find. Finally, found a company in Ontario that had seed for $50 a pound.
Wow.
And so that's pretty pricey.
Yeah.
So
what is that? I mean, I'm not sure. What's an average seed? Like, I don't know anything about the cost of seeds.
The conventional farmers will maybe get, I don't know, they might be able to pay $100 $120 for a 50-pound bag.
Wow. That's a huge difference.
It's a big difference.
Wow. Well, we are going to learn a lot more about why this seed is so expensive, so rare, and what's so special about the finished product after it's raised in just a quick bit here. Marty, stay with us, and
you
all
bet.
Our listeners will be right back.
Get man up on the dance floor, no. Summon up it when the bassline roll, no. Pull it up, I come and get me one more, no. Come and let me dance all out, go, no. This a one of the real KO, no. In a me brain just like the ice, no. Run through the vein like the blood with a flow, no. Hot like a lava. We keep it blazing, blazing, blazing all night. Bring you to a higher level, make you feel alright. We keep it blazing, blazing, blazing all night. Bring you to a higher height, make you get a good vibe.
You're listening to The Heritage Report. I'm Jack Inslee, sitting here with Heather Hyman.
A.K.A. Heather from Heritage.
Heather from Heritage. We want to remind you that we're broadcasting out of two repurposed shipping containers in the backyard of Roberta's Pizzeria in Bushwick, Brooklyn. It's 261 Moore Street. And our producer today is Kayla Cohen, correct me if I'm mistaken, and engineered by Nat Wiener, and we're sponsored by Heritage Foods USA. We're talking with Marty about the Iroquois white corn. And Marty, what makes the Iroquois white corn different than any other corn for the layman?
Well, part of it is it has what you're talking about, a heritage.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
It has a history. This corn was passed down from generation to generation to generation, potentially for, you know, well over 100 years. It's an heirloom crop that the seed comes true each year. From when you plant that seed, you get basically that same corn each time that you plant it.
Mm-hmm.
Conventional corn today that's planted here in the Midwest are hybrids that are genetically modified that you don't want to be eating because you're eating, you know, potentially things that have insecticides in them.
Right. And are there any other types of heirloom corn, or is this really the only one?
No. There's actually dozens of different varieties.
Okay.
If you look, Seed Savers Exchange, for instance, would carry a number of different kinds. But this particular corn has a flavor and a quality about it that our chefs are just really, really excited about. They say this is unlike anything that they've had before.
And like its name, it's white, not yellow like we're used to seeing.
That's right. And it's a large kerneled corn, nearly the size of like a hominy.
Mm-hmm. And what exactly is a hominy?
Well, you would take a specific variety of corn and be able to soak it in lye and then rinse it and then be able to cook that and be able to make hominy or pozole and those kinds of things.
Okay, and what's lye exactly?
Lye is a chemical compound it's going to sound really tough, but it's a drain cleaner. It used to be used as a drain cleaner, Lewis lye. But what it does, it removes the outer part of that corn, and then it helps it to puff and to soak up water that way.
Hmm.
So it's like a good thing.
Well, and lye can also be made from wood ash. It's very alkaline.
Okay, got it. So this seed that you got, was the hunt for it really? I mean, right now, is it worth the hunt? I mean, what have you done with the seed since you've gotten it?
Well, the first year we planted, I ordered a pound and a half. I was going out on a limb.
Yeah,
for $75.
That's a big investment.
Well, yes and no, but the first year we planted 8 rows of corn that were approximately 200 feet long, and we ended up with barely 60 pounds of cornmeal and about 8 or 9 pounds of seed corn that we felt were, you know, you want to save the best ears, the best looking ears for seed for the next year. And we took that cornmeal, that 63 pounds, to Brian at Frontera, and he sat on the counter and hugged it.
Oh, no.
He was almost in tears. He says, "You guys did it."
Wow.
And he says, "Now, next year I need 800 to 1,000 pounds.
So we're bringing it back then. That's essentially what's going on here.
That's right. So we planted, the next year we saved our 9 pounds, but I needed 6 more pounds. And I called the seed company back, and they said, "Well, we changed the price a little bit. It's now 250 kernels for $20.
Wow.
And so, but long story short, I was able to procure another 5 pounds,
uh-huh.
and we now are able to save our own seed, and the crop actually gets better each year. It's acclimating to our farm and to the soil here.
That's great. Now, what's necessary for the price to come down? Do you think the more popular this becomes, maybe they'll bend a bit on that? Or
I think so, and I think the more and more that you know, that we can reintroduce it. We've actually sent some of the seed to a few other small farms in the Midwest so that we're not the only repository for the seed.
Good, nice.
And then hopefully over the course of the next year or two, we can get it back into some of the seed catalogs and seed industry so that, you know, more and more folks can experience this corn.
Now, one thing that's most important to me, like when I'm working, you know, when I have my heritage hat on and I'm procuring new products or talking to new farmers, is, you know, how to really confirm that the identity or that the genetics really are what the farmer says they are.
Mm-hmm.
And there's got to be a story behind this because, you know, you went all the way to Ontario to find this seed. How did you know that it was really a descendant of the Iroquois tribe?
Well, there was some research that I had done in trying to reach the folks that had produced this in the past, and I actually came up with, I was contacted by a colleague of the chief who was in charge of this, and the chief had since passed away, and this colleague...
Who was that, by the way?
The chief?
Yes.
Chief John Mohawk.
Of the Iroquois tribe?
Yes, they're in New York.
Hmm.
But this is a colleague of his that wrote and became very excited that he was very saddened when the chief had passed away and that the tribe decided evidently not to continue on. And he passed on some information that said, I'm nearly positive that this seed was, you know, traveled throughout the nation. The Iroquois Nation, and that one of the places was in Ontario.
Wow. So someone happened to find your farm somewhere on the interweb, or
yes,
just learned of you, and
yes,
you basically were given, like, some backstory from,
yeah,
like, the person that you wish you could have bought the seed from himself.
Right, exactly.
Huh.
Exactly.
It's like out of a movie.
Yeah. Well, it's connected us with a lot of folks. Some folks who have had this corn in the past who thought that they would not be able to get it again, much like Frontera, but
mm-hmm.
But we've introduced it to a lot of new folks too.
Yeah, well, I know I've definitely heard requests for it, and I'm wondering, have you ever gotten contacted by any Iroquois natives, like any people from the Iroquois tribe to purchase from you?
Not yet. We've had some requests from the New York area,
mm-hmm.
but not yet. But I hope that we can, because I would love to be able to, you know, return some of the seed to them, and hopefully they could pick this up again.
Definitely.
For sure. Now, have you gotten a chance to taste any of the things being
made?
Oh,
yes. Oh, yeah.
And the verdict?
It's tremendous.
Hmm.
When we harvest it, we don't harvest it with a combine. The first couple years, we hand-picked everything.
Wow.
This past year, we had a neighboring farmer who had an old 40, 50-year-old corn picker that we were able to use.
Wow.
But we harvest it, we dry it, then we hand-roast it over an oak fire.
Wow.
So that it toasts it just a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Then we shell it off of the cob.
Okay.
And then run it through a stone mill and mill it into the cornmeal. So it has this wonderful smoky, earthy, nutty flavor that's really quite different.
That's a true heritage experience through and through.
Yeah.
That's right.
How long does that take for it to get husked and then turn into cornmeal?
We usually harvest in, you know, sometime, hopefully by the end of October each year.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will usually take a good 2, 3, 4 weeks for us to really begin to get a few hundred pounds together. And so, you know, we still have quite a lot of it drying that is dry and ready to roast. So we're still able to offer it. The last couple of years, we were sold out by this time each year. So.
All right. Well, for all of you out there interested in procuring some of this, you could reach out to Marty himself at thespencefarm.com for his contact information. Heritage Foods USA looks forward to the opportunity to offer this to our customers and listeners out there. And Marty, we hope to have you on again to talk more about, you know, your farming protocols and productions, you know, when it's really your busy season, and hear about how that goes when you're out there in the fields, you know, with the corn itself.
We'd be more than welcome to do that. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks so much, Marty.
You're welcome. All right, take care, you guys.
You as well.
And thanks for listening to the first very ever episode of the Heritage Report.
And we hope to have you back here next Wednesday, live at 5.
5 o'clock.
Don't forget to call in.
I'm Jack Inslee.
And this is Heather.
And we're sponsored by Heritage Foods USA. What up, Patrick?
Thank you.